Today is Thursday, October 16th, and this is the World Socialist Website. No kings, no Nazi Führers. Mobilize the working class against Trump's dictatorship. A statement of the Socialist Equality Party of the United States. More than 2,500 No Kings protests are being held on October 18th throughout the United States, in every major city and many smaller towns, as well as in other countries. The Socialist Equality Party supports these demonstrations and calls for the broadest possible participation. The last No Kings demonstrations, on June 14th, attracted upwards of 10 million people in what is believed to have been the largest single-day political protest in American history. These demonstrations are taking place under conditions of a mounting conspiracy of the Trump administration to establish a presidential dictatorship. In the days leading up to October 18th, administration officials and leading Republicans denounced the protests as a Hate America rally, branded demonstrators as terrorists, and threatened to launch investigations against those organizing them. The White House is also preparing to invoke the Insurrection Act, which would give Trump sweeping powers to deploy the military throughout the United States under his direct command. National Guard troops have already been deployed to major American cities, including Washington, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles, Portland, and Memphis. In Chicago, the third largest city in the country, residents face daily assaults by a combination of police, ICE, and Department of Homeland Security agents, while National Guard forces have arrived in preparation for further action. The language coming from the White House is the language of civil war. Trump has called for the military to be used against the, quote, enemy within, unquote. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller has described even the Democratic Party as a, quote, domestic extremist organization, unquote. Trump has opened up the White House to neo-Nazis, Christian nationalists, and far-right propagandists who are openly plotting the abolition of democratic rights. What is unfolding is not a temporary aberration or a passing episode. There will be no return to normal. With the Trump administration, the American ruling class is breaking with constitutional forms of rule. The decisive question is, what is to be done? How can Trump's coup be defeated? The October 18th demonstrations express deep hostility to the Trump administration's efforts to set up a fascistic dictatorship in the United States. The central slogan, No Kings, articulates a vast popular hostility to autocracy, although we would add to it, in the present-day context of the neo-Nazi program of the Trump regime, No Führers. However, anger and outrage is not enough to stop dictatorship. What is required, and what is most critical, is a clear program and political strategy. To defeat Trump and send him to the dustbin of history, it is first necessary to understand what this gangster represents. Trump is not a rogue individual, but the political representative of the American capitalist oligarchy. He is the personification of a ruling class that has spent decades enriching itself through financial speculation, parasitism, and the relentless impoverishment of the working class. Hitler, in his time, was placed in power by the most powerful sections of the German ruling class. As for Trump, the aspiring Führer held a meeting with the leading tech billionaires last month in which he pledged to, quote, make it a lot easier, unquote, for them to further expand their wealth. The oligarchs, including Bill Gates of Microsoft, Tim Cook of Apple, Sundar Pichai, and Sergey Brin of Alphabet or Google, Mark Zuckerberg of Meta or Facebook, and Sam Altman of OpenAI, responded with effusive praise, lauding his incredible leadership. The oligarchy is responding to an escalating series of economic, social, and geopolitical crises. The foundations of the U.S. economy have been rotted out by unprecedented debt and the continued erosion of the dollar's value on world markets. Above all, they are terrified of the growth of popular opposition to the obscene concentration of wealth in an infinitesimal segment of society. The 400 richest Americans now control more than $6.6 trillion, while the vast majority of the population is confronting soaring inflation and eroding living standards. U.S. household debt has reached a record $18.39 trillion, including more than $1.2 trillion in credit card debt and $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. Such levels of social inequality are incompatible with democratic forms of rule. However reckless, bizarre, incoherent, and even absurd Trump's ramblings may appear, there is a logic that connects his policies. They are aimed at imposing the consequences of the bankruptcy of American capitalism within the United States and internationally on the working class. The ongoing government shutdown, for example, is being used as a battering ram to destroy hundreds of thousands of jobs, dismantle social programs, and strip millions of workers of health care, housing, and retirement benefits. Measures are already being prepared to slash Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. The war on democratic rights is inseparable from the eruption of imperialist violence abroad. The Trump administration has secretly authorized the CIA to conduct covert operations in Venezuela, expanding a campaign of assassinations and regime change efforts aimed at toppling the government of Nicolas Maduro. In recent weeks, U.S. military forces have attacked vessels off the Venezuelan coast, murdering 27 people under the pretext of anti-drug operations. Trump's so-called ceasefire in Gaza is nothing less than a neo-colonial settlement atop the bones of tens of thousands of Palestinians and the rubble of destroyed buildings. These crimes mark a new stage in the decades-long escalation of imperialist war that has now entered the initial stages of world war, encompassing the Middle East, Eastern Europe, Latin America, and the Pacific. The capitalist class cannot wage world war abroad while preserving democracy at home. Dictatorship is the domestic face of imperialism. That Trump does not merely speak for himself is demonstrated by the absence of serious opposition within the political establishment. Every institution of American capitalism has either endorsed or adapted itself to his authoritarian agenda. 9 months of the second Trump administration have proven, beyond any doubt, that the Democratic Party is not a force of opposition, but of collaboration and complicity. In the run-up to the 2024 election, the Democrats warned that Trump was planning to rule as a dictator. They explicitly referred to him as a fascist. But now, confronted with a criminal government that is brazenly violating the Constitution, the Democrats failed to advance any call, let alone strategy, for Trump's removal from office. As Trump prepares to invoke the Insurrection Act and seeks to criminalize opposition, including the Democrats themselves, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries are issuing appeals for bipartisanship. They beg Trump and the Republicans to, quote, work together, unquote, to end the government shutdown and, quote, make health care more affordable, unquote, while saying nothing about the escalating conspiracy for dictatorship. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, the representative of the left wing of the Democratic Party, plays a particularly cowardly role. In his Fighting Oligarchy tour, Sanders has said virtually nothing about Trump's conspiracy for dictatorship. He has issued no call for mass opposition and no demand for the removal of the administration. His entire role, along with figures like Democratic Socialists of America member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and now New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, is to channel opposition behind the Democratic Party. Whatever tactical disputes exist between them, both parties are united in the defense of capitalist wealth, the prosecution of imperialist war, and the suppression of popular opposition. The Democrats fear nothing more than the emergence of a mass movement of workers and youth that would challenge the foundations of capitalist rule. Their differences with Trump have always been centered not on his fascistic attack on democratic rights, but on aspects of U.S. imperialist policy, especially the U.S.-NATO war against Russia over Ukraine. As for the apparatus of the trade unions, it is doing nothing as the Trump administration wages a war on the working class. One would never know, judging from the impotence of the AFL-CIO, that unions first emerged as organizations of struggle against capitalist exploitation and political repression. The AFL and its associated organizations have absolutely no independent policy for the defense of the working class. The union bureaucracy responds with plaintive appeals for bipartisanship and compromise while refusing to organize any resistance. Sections of this apparatus, including the United Auto Workers and the Teamsters, have openly aligned themselves with Trump's program of economic nationalism and trade war policies. The Socialist Equality Party calls on all those participating in the No Kings demonstrations to take up clear and urgent demands to rally opposition to Trump's dictatorship. These must include the removal of the Trump administration from power and the dismantling of its fascistic apparatus, the immediate withdrawal of all troops from American cities, and an end to the militarization of public life, an end to the persecution and deportation of immigrant workers, and the abolition of ICE and DHS, the defense of free speech and all democratic rights, including the right to protest, organize, and speak against the government without intimidation or censorship, an end to the mass layoffs, cuts to social programs, and destruction of living standards imposed in its wake. These demands cannot be achieved through appeals to the ruling class or its political representatives. They require the independent intervention of the working class, acting as a unified and conscious political force. Workers must organize collectively to resist the attack on democratic rights and prepare a general strike to bring down Trump's dictatorship. The Socialist Equality Party calls for the formation of rank-and-file committees in every workplace, factory, and neighborhood to coordinate this struggle. These committees must unite every section of the working class: teachers and nurses, auto and logistics workers, public employees, youth, and students, into a single powerful movement. They must become the foundation for a counteroffensive, linking the defense of democratic rights to the fight for jobs, wages, health care, and social equality. In the development of the struggle against dictatorship in the United States, it is critical to understand its international dimensions. It is necessary to break with all forms of nationalist parochialism. The greatest strength of the working class lies in its international character. American workers must see themselves as part of a global working class and strive consciously to connect their fight against Trump with the movement of the working class on a global scale. In an epoch when all aspects of the production process are ruled by global economic networks, the strategy of the working class must be international. The SCP is spearheading the building of the International Workers Alliance of Rank and File Committees, or IWA-RFC, to unite workers across industries and national borders in a global struggle against dictatorship, inequality, and capitalist exploitation. The establishment of dictatorship in the United States will sound the death knell for democratic rights everywhere. The response must be international, uniting workers across every continent in a common struggle against imperialist war and social reaction. The entire historical experience of the 1930s demonstrated that the fight against fascism cannot be separated from the struggle against capitalism and for socialism. The defense of democracy requires the expropriation of the financial oligarchy and the transformation of the corporations and banks into public utilities under democratic workers' control. The immense wealth concentrated in the hands of a few must be used to meet human needs, not private profit. Many of those participating in the last No Kings demonstration drew inspiration from the American Revolution. The ruling class is in the process of repudiating all the democratic rights established in that revolution. The defense of these rights is now inseparable from the development of a working class movement to achieve its social rights, the right to a job and a livable income, to food, housing, health care, and education. These rights are not compatible with the capitalist profit system. To achieve these rights and stop the descent into fascism and barbarism, the working class must take power into its own hands, reorganize economic life on socialist foundations, and establish genuine democracy based on social equality. The Socialist Equality Party and its youth organization, the International Youth and Students for Social Equality, or IYSSE, calls on workers, young people, and all those who are committed to the defense of democratic rights and to social equality to take up this fight, build rank-and-file committees in factories, all workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods. We urge all those who agree with this strategy to join the SCP and turn the immense social power of the working class into a conscious movement for socialism. Jacobin Magazine attempts to conceal the pro-genocide record of Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez by Andre Damon. Last week, Jacobin Magazine published an article attempting to cover up and justify the record of Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in defending and enabling the Gaza genocide. Over the course of the past 2 years, the Netanyahu government has systematically sought to kill and displace the population of Gaza in a campaign of ethnic cleansing and genocide. For its first 15 months, the genocide was funded, armed, and defended by President Joe Biden, who was endorsed by Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Throughout the genocide, Senator Sanders has repeatedly declared that, quote, Israel has a right to defend itself, unquote, against the population of the territories it illegally occupies, while Ocasio-Cortez has called the defense of Israel, quote, legitimate, unquote, denounced rallies called in defense of the Palestinians as anti-Semitic, and supported the provision of, quote, defensive, unquote, arms to Israel. The support of Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez for the Gaza genocide provoked broad anger and deeply discredited the Democratic Socialists of America, of which Ocasio-Cortez is a member. The DSA, through Jacobin, has concluded that now is an appropriate time to rewrite the record of support for genocide and present the Democratic Party and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez not as defenders and enablers of the genocide, but as its opponents. A main aim is to whitewash the DSA's record in preparation for a potential run by Ocasio-Cortez for Senate and even President. Jacobin's article, titled Ultra-Leftism Can't Free Palestine, is a condemnation of what it calls ultra-leftism, which in this case refers to individuals and political tendencies that oppose the advocates of genocide, particularly the Trotskyist movement and the World Socialist website. The article takes the form of an interview between Jacobin writer Eric Blank, author Bashir Abu Mana, an advocate of the U.S.-Israeli regime change operation in Syria, and DSA member Hoda Mitwali. In the course of the article, Mitwali asserts, quoting, it's irresponsible when people on the left spread misinformation about AOC's record. She has never voted for military aid to Israel. She has never voted affirmatively for the Iron Dome. She has consistently voted against Israel and the military-industrial complex. Yes, she has made some clumsy rhetorical moves that many of us may disagree with on Iron Dome and at the 2024 Democratic National Convention. But I would argue rhetoric is not the same as a bad vote. It makes no sense to focus so much criticism on one of the few people in Congress who has generally been on the right side of this fight from day one. Unquote. In reality, Ocasio-Cortez has consistently and without exception, been on the wrong side of the genocide because she accepts the legitimacy of Israel's war against the Palestinians, whom it illegally imprisons and whose land it illegally occupies. She couples this unceasing support for Israel's right to defend itself with token criticisms of one or another atrocity carried out by the Israel Defense Forces, in a manner indistinguishable from former President Joe Biden or the UK, French, and German governments. On October 7, 2023, Israel began its two-year-long bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The Netanyahu government used as its pretext the Hamas attack on its borders, of which it had detailed advance knowledge and which it facilitated by withdrawing its troops from the border with Gaza. On October 9, 2023, Israel Defense Minister Yoav Gallant declared, quote, "I have ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip. There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals, and we act accordingly," unquote, in what Human Rights Watch immediately called, quote, "a call to commit a war crime." Later that month, Netanyahu quoted the Old Testament verse, quote, "Remember what Amalek did to you," unquote, in a reference to the biblical demand to, quote, "put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys," unquote. In other words, the language used by the Israeli government in waging its war was genocidal from the very beginning. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responded by declaring her support for the defense of Israel, stating, quote, "When we discuss support for Israeli defensive systems, that is absolutely legitimate," unquote, adding that Hamas had to be, quote, unquote, "dealt with." During the October 2023 CNN interview, Ocasio-Cortez neither called for a ceasefire nor mentioned the genocidal rhetoric of the Israeli leaders. That month, Ocasio-Cortez condemned the bigotry of protests against the Gaza genocide, joining with the fascist right and President Joe Biden in slandering protests against the Gaza genocide as anti-Semitic. She declared, quote, "It should not be hard to shut down hatred and anti-Semitism where we see it," unquote. On November 28, 2023, Ocasio-Cortez voted for House Resolution 888, which declares that, quote, "denying Israel's right to exist is a form of anti-Semitism," unquote. At last year's Democratic National Convention, Ocasio-Cortez endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris, declaring that Harris, quote, "is working tirelessly to secure a ceasefire in Gaza and bringing hostages home," unquote. In reality, the Biden-Harris administration provided Israel with all the political, economic, and military support required to carry out its ethnic cleansing campaign. Harris made clear that she would continue the Biden administration's policy of limitless support for the genocide. In July 2025, Ocasio-Cortez voted to reject an amendment to the 2026 U.S. war budget that would have stripped a paltry $500 million from the Israeli cooperative programs. Defending her vote, Ocasio-Cortez declared, quote, "Of course I voted against it. What it does do is cut off defensive Iron Dome capacities while allowing the actual bombs killing Palestinians to continue," unquote. In response to outrage among its own members to these actions, the DSA National Political Committee, or NPC, withdrew its endorsement of Ocasio-Cortez. It noted Ocasio-Cortez's statements supporting military aid for Israel and her equation of anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, and declared that her actions were a, quote, "deep betrayal to all those who've risked their welfare to fight Israeli apartheid and genocide through political and direct action in recent months and in decades past," unquote. The DSA's withdrawal of its endorsement of Ocasio-Cortez was a cynical maneuver aimed at quelling anger among its own members. But it is a testament to the deep dishonesty of Jacobin's article that the statement withdrawing the endorsement of Ocasio-Cortez is never mentioned in the course of the interview. It is simply an inconvenient truth to be ignored. Jacobin writes that, quote, "The U.S. movement in solidarity is far weaker than it should be," unquote. This is because, in Blank's words, quote, Some currents of leftist and Palestine activists have a pre-existing ideological orientation toward trying to break the left from the Democrats immediately or in the very near future. And I think that's part of the reason why there's been so much focus from these milieus on, for example, attacking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, unquote. Let us attempt to paraphrase this argument. The Democratic Party and its DSA faction has supported, enabled, and justified the Gaza genocide. This confirms the pre-existing assessment of opponents of the Democratic Party that is a right-wing party of imperialist war and violence. The genocide continues, Jacobin asserts, because the movement against it is, quote, weaker than it should be. And the movement is weaker than it should be, not because figures such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez embrace and defend genocide, but because people criticize the Democratic Party and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez for embracing and defending genocide. Ergo, the supporters of genocide work to stop genocide, and the opponents of genocide enable it. If everyone supported the genocide would stop. The reality is the exact opposite of what Jacobin argues. The way to stop the genocide is through an unequivocal break with all those complicit in it. This means not only the mainstream Democratic Party, but its pseudo-left apologists, like Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez, and their promoters in the DSA. Amid the nonstop efforts by the political establishment to promote figures like DSA member Sohram Mamdani in response to popular opposition to capitalism, all class-conscious workers and young people must never forget the role the DSA played in defending and justifying the genocide. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.